chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 7. This is the way I feel. This is what I feel in the air. This is what I felt for some time. See if you feel the same way. Is it just me? But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Do you feel the same way I do? Do you feel a different feeling in the air? That the end of all things is at hand. Praise God. Oh God, I trust, amen, that people out there in the world will realize that what we're feeling in this world, in this United States of America, the changes in the air, the pall that hangs in the atmosphere, my God, amen, the end of all things is at hand. Mike, we just got a little while to do what we're going to do. Amen. The end of all things is at hand. If it was at hand when Peter penned it, don't you think it's even more imminent tonight? Amen. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. What should we do in view of the end? The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You've got to watch now who you follow. You may be following somebody that's going to lead you. You may be following somebody's example that's going to lead you away from the house of God and faithfulness to the house of God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but rather exhort one another. And much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. That's Romans, what, 10? About, or Hebrews 10, 25? Amen. Much more. You believe you can see the day approaching? You believe there are people tonight that are sensitive about the day approaching? Amen. I mean, the night I got saved in July and in 1948, right after the Jews had been declared a nation in May, amen, when they said Jesus was coming soon, that gripped my heart. I knew the Spirit of God got a hold on me. He said, this is your night. I tell you something else he told me that night. I was a sinner. A 14-year-old sinner. You believe a 14-year-old kid can hear serious things like the voice of the Lord? Amen. Samuel was just a kid, and he heard that voice from out of the night. Samuel! Samuel! Ran to Eli. Did you call me, Master? No, I didn't call you. Stretched, yeah. Why? You hear something? He said, I thought you called me. Well, go back to bed, son. Amen. He runs back to Eli again. You call me. You called me. I know you called. I didn't call you, son. Then they realized something else was talking. Amen. You think God could speak to somebody here tonight? You think God could talk to somebody here tonight? You think he might even speak to me, to you? Amen. Give me something that might help you. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight what God told me when I was a 14-year-old boy. Standing there in the service, he said, this is your night. If you don't get saved tonight, You never will. You think God could talk to a 14-year-old boy that way? You think God can demand such decisiveness out of a child? I was 14 and looked 12. I could still get in the theater for 12 cents because I looked small. I'd give them my 12 cents, amen, because they thought I was 12. And I'd get inside the show and eat a quarter's worth of popcorn, a nickel a sack. After I got in, cost me 12 cents to get in and a quarter for 5 sacks of popcorn. And I was small for my age, slim. I was a child, but the Almighty dealt severely with me. The Almighty God spoke to me and said, "This is your night." Amen. An end came that night. An end of a career in sin. God ended all my ambitions, all my aspirations, everything that I had planned to be or do. God ended it right there. And a brand new day dawned on my life. And I gave my heart to Jesus. As weak as my experience was, and as pitiful as my prayer was that night, and as silent almost as my confession of faith, amen, was that night, I noticed that something had changed. Rick Bradley, when I went home and laid down and went to sleep, there was not that fear anymore that if I died before morning, that I'd be lost. The lightning was flashing in the east. When we walked home, everybody walked to church. Almost nobody had cars in those days. Amen. If we caught a ride, we had to catch a ride. Somebody was taking that catch a ride. A flatbed, 2-ton truck was a wonderful thing. You get more people on it. Amen. I've seen 11 people ride in a one-seated, they call it a 64 37 Ford. Amen. 60 horsepower of the 8 engine. And I've seen 11 people ride one. You had one? Amen. I've seen 11 people ride to church. It belonged to R.O. Martin, but my brother-in-law to be drove it all the time. He drove R.O.'s old car. It had a full round to play in the steering wheel, so you had to fight the steering wheel. It slipped out of gear. No matter what gear you had it in, especially the higher gear, didn't have any brakes, so Lee would have to get it down on the hills. That was all the brakes he had, so he'd throw it in the granny low and go down the hill and low. That's all the brakes he had. But it would jump out low, so my sister was sitting in the middle and she would hold it. It took both of them to drive it. But boy, 11 of us climbed on that car and rode to Hans Church to hear Sister Rosie Hatfield preach and tickle to death to catch a ride. But when I walked home that night, no ride, through Boyd Anderson's field, that was a shortcut home, and the apples was hanging over Boyd Anderson's fence and over the fence, just big enough to be tempting to a kid. And I grabbed one of them and ate it about the second night of that revival and got the bellyache from eating that bitter green apple and missed a night or two of that church because I had the bellyache from eating that green apple. That's all I can remember about the time that I got saved, the date. The green apples is just big enough to be tempting. Amen. They were shooting firecrackers so as close to the 4th of July. Amen. And Bert Jackson threatened to call the law down there in the Cuba for shooting those firecrackers outside the tent. But they wasn't all that close to the tent, but then things was kind of close together. I just can't imagine, as I go back and look at things, how they've shrunk up. Big Creek Bridge was the biggest slab of concrete in the country. It's amazing how much it's shrunk through the years as the water has run over it. Amen. Things were so big in those days that, and when they were young and small. Amen. And Oh, I saw the lightning flashing in the east as I went home. And you know what? I wasn't afraid of the storm anymore. I got saved. Praise God. An end of a career in sin. God had spoke to my heart. He had dealt with me directly and decisively. I knew it was God. And you will too. When he speaks to your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. Everywhere I go, it's in the air. There's a big change coming, folks. And I can tell you what it is. The end of all things is at hand. Amen. Exhort one another. Encourage one another to go to church. Be faithful to God. And much the more as you see the day approaching. What do you see tonight? Does anybody here see anything? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Amen. The end of all things is at hand. We got to be ready. Why did God say this 2,000 years ago? Write it down in the Word of God so people like Mary Ellen could be ready. Monday, about 1:30, the end came. For Mary Ellen, our friend for so many years. She came with Brother Havis when he came to hold the first revival when I brought Brother Havis to Ohio, in Middletown, the first time. Introduced him to our people. Amen. And recommended him for some of our camps. And Havis will tell you today that I brought him east. I introduced him to our camps in the East. He preached them all, about all our churches, all our camps, numerous times. Preached them all. Amen. She was with him. She was single. She was smart. She was educated. And so Brother Creek got us a tour through Armco. And so they had a special man to lead us, the pastor, his wife, and the evangelist, his wife and daughter, through Armco Steel, the whole thing, after they'd finished Project 600, and it was full operation when I went to Middletown in 1967. Amen. And the longest hot strip in the world at that time, Armco Steel. We got to see it. Amen. As they poured that water on that red-hot steel, as it went through those rollers, and that last roller poured that water on it to cool it, that water bubbled and rolled off of there and just bounced on there, and marble-sized and BB-sized balls and rolled off that water. Amen. And the man asked us what that was called. Nobody could answer it except Mary Ellen. And she had the answer. Amen. She knew what that was called that caused that water to bubble and roll off that steel and not just explode and blow up, you know, in a big puff of steam. It just turned into little balls and rolled off that steel and cooled that steel without too much of a fuss, really. She knew what it was called, so He made comment how smart she was. She was. But she was always wise enough to honor her father and mother. She took care of them, watched after them. Amen. And all they told you how that she was 45 years old, incidentally, when she died, exactly the same age her mother was when she died, and that doesn't seem possible. Amen. But I told you a while ago how she combed her mother's hair for her mother's funeral. She worked and worked and worked on it. And finally she said, well, Mama, I didn't do too good, but I'll do it better the next time. She didn't know how soon. Just 20 years down the road, the next time would come. Amen. It's happened. She's gone to meet Mama and to meet Jesus. She was wise in the things of the Lord. She honored her father and her mother. Amen. You'll be glad you did that in view of the end. And you'll be sorry. You'll cry if you don't. When the end comes, no matter when it comes, sooner or later, you'll be sorry that you didn't. When the end comes. Amen. End of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Hallelujah. Sincere. Praise God. When he was trying out for me for the church at Dale, Illinois, I heard Sister Irvin talking to George Obe Irvin. George Obe hadn't been convinced yet that I was the man for the job, and so she was trying to sell him on the young preacher and his wife. And she didn't know I was listening, but I heard her say, "He's sincere." Amen. Sincere. Well, amen. You couldn't have paid me a better compliment than to tell me that I was, or to be said of me that I was sincere. Amen. I was 23 years old. Kim was a little baby. Jeff hadn't come along yet. Amen. And they said that I was a sincere, I'll add myself, 23-year-old. Amen. Hey, I got sincere a long time before I was 23. Amen. I got sincere when I was a kid. Amen. I heard some folks talking in the store about me when I was shouldering burdens that men ought to have to shoulder when I was a kid. Amen. And they said something to effect that he's got a man's head on him. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I've been old for a long time, folks. But the wonderful thing about getting old early is that you stay the same all through the years. Amen. You never get any older. You just stay the same. Brother Chester Shell, when I first saw him, amen, at Granite City Camp Meeting, he was probably in his 40s. He walked pigeon-toed, and the way he walked and kind of humped over and preached, man, he looked like he was 65 years old then. And he never changed through the years. He never got any older. He was always the same Chester Shell all through the years. You see, I got called to preach when I was 16 years old. And then when I was 17 years old, I started pastoring a church. So you got to be kind of old-headed, you know. You got to kind of look the part and act responsible. An old mother church of an area like Tampa, they're not going to be voting you in or appointing you as pastor of a church at the age of 17 years old if you don't have some responsibility already. Amen. What was it? I was just sober. I was just sober about eternity, Brother Hughes. Eternity. I was just sober about the things of God. Hey, it may be tongue-in-cheek to some, but it never has been to me since I got saved at the age of 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. I sobered up. I mean, what is sober? Sober is dead serious. Amen. The Bible speaks of gravity and grave. Amen. It's just another word for sober. Dead serious. Praise God. Oh, boy. I mean, what is sober? Sober means business about the things of God. I mean, when you're sober, you're not going to be easily daunted about the things of God. I mean, when you're sober, you're not going to be easily drawn away from church on Sunday. I mean, you go to church all the time when you're sober. And if you don't get enough church, you'll make one. You get you another service somehow. If you have to start your prayer meeting, your own. Amen. Glory to God. Away with this old stuff. Going to church too much can be bad for you. And it's a bore. My God, we need to get down to business. Amen. He said, do it much more as you see the day approaching. The end is upon us. It's about over. Amen. And watch unto prayer. And what does it mean in the Bible to watch? Well, I'll tell you. It means to be so concerned about your life and about eternity and about the things of God, amen, that you get so concerned about it that you make it a point of prayer. You watch unto prayer. Prayer, praise God, is the end of your watchfulness. Amen. I don't mean that you quit watching with prayer. I mean that it is the purpose. It accomplishes the purpose of your watchfulness. Prayer does. Amen. Be sober and watch unto prayer. Am I helping anybody? Amen. Am I helping anybody? Is anybody concerned about the end? Am I just batting the wind? Is there nobody here that realizes that the end is upon us? And this may be our last chance to find Jesus. This may be our last chance to help somebody to find God. God help me! Amen. And above all things, amen, things to do in view of the end. That's probably about all the best I can do. Brother Billy, things to do in view of the end. I guess that's a good enough title. Things to do in view of the end. And then he says something that will surprise you. He said, above all things. Looks like he said some awful important stuff already, doesn't it? Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Amen. That means among us who are the children of God, have such a love that it just boils over. Amen. Fervent means to the boiling point. Fervent means, amen, when you heat water till the point is, that's fervent. Amen. I mean, it's boiling, it's a blubbering, and it's a splashing, and amen. You say, how do you get close to it? I'm getting it on you. Amen. That's fervent. It means to the boiling point. Hallelujah. Have that kind of charity among yourselves. Don't you think we took each other for granted long enough? Amen. We ought to shake hands and hug each other's neck with a little more fervency, because the next hand you shake might be the hand of the Savior. The next step you take might be on streets of purest gold. Hallelujah. Did you notice the strong tense here? Above all things. Rick Bradley is a Greek student. He studied it before he went to seminary because he knew he was going to go to seminary. Amen. So he had 3 years of it, I think, before he even went to seminary. He's a Greek student. Amen. I guarantee you, if you had the Greek on it, and you can do pretty good with the Amplified New Testament, because it gives you the whole, all English words it takes, you know, to express the expressive Greek word. Amen. But I'll suffice to read out of the Authorized King James Version. Above all things, that's pretty important, isn't it? It's awful important. Amen. That we have fervent charity among ourselves. Who is that? Who is ourselves? Huh? Have fervent charity among yourselves. That's us, isn't it? That's church folks, isn't it? Amen. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Praise God. Boiling point charity. Amen. Here's the reason, too. He said, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Amen. Oh, boy. Amen. Charity, praise God, is what a good carpenter has, a good drywall man has, a good paint man has when you're building a house. Amen. I used to be a carpenter, and I decided I wanted to have a little more free time, and I'd specialize in drywall, and so I quit carpentering 8 hours a day to supplement my ministry, and went into the drywall trade, learned drywall trade, and became a contractor, and I would work real hard, just work like a towhead, and stay at it to get it done, so I could get back to my church, back to my visitation, back to my camp meeting, back to my revivals. Amen. So I worked real hard, learned to work fast, and get a lot done, and drove everybody that worked for me above and beyond, because I had one consuming appetite, that was to get back to the business that God had called my life to, the ministry of the gospel of the saving Son of God. Amen. Amen. But being drywall man, the hangers would come along and hang the drywall, and most guys that hung professionally would do a tremendous job. They knew how to do it, knew how to cut it. They hung it long ways in the wall, so you could walk the wall and do that one crack all the way around the wall. Amen. That one joint standing on the floor, and hung it up and down, and hung it around the wall, and nailed it just right. Not over nailed it, but nailed it just right, and double nailed it ever so often, so it would those nails would support each other. But once in a while, I'd get in a job that was bad. Gene Huff's house was one of them. Sister Ethel had helped hang it. Amen. Amen. Then Charles Valentine walked in Gene Huff's house, and I looked at it, saw how it was cut up. One piece hung right up over the living room, hung on the back side because they'd cut the angle, and it turned out just right to turn that sheetrock clear over, and it fit perfect on the other side. Amen, but you had to hang the brown side out, and they'd hung it backwards. And I had the job of finishing that drywall. I looked at the job, and I told Charles Valentine, I said, if this was my house, I'd buy new sheetrock and hang new sheetrock right over this. But we went ahead and finished that house, me and Brother Charles Valentine and Brother David Shelton. Finished Brother Gene Huff's nice new home. Amen. Turned out real nice, but once again I was driving my help, which happened to be Jeff, in a hurry to get back to the highway of holiness, to my radio broadcast and everything. Amen. So I was driving my help, and Jeff was talking to Jeannie, two young people, you know, talking there, you know. And I bawled him out good for talking when we needed to get this work done. I bawled him out so hard that David and Charles Valentine both felt sorry for him. They said, I'm for Jeff. Amen. But in my drywall career, those houses that was hung by carpenters that didn't know how to hang it, those that was hung like Brother Huff's, made the most of it, made a little bit of sheetrock go a long ways. Amen. I have covered a multitude of sins. But even then, a good drywall man is amazed. When he goes back and sands and touch up his job, he's amazed at all the things he missed. And it's plumb discouraging sometimes to go back and sand your own work and touch it up and see that you trying as hard as you did and working as hard as you did to perfect the job, that you missed as many things as you did. And occasionally, a good paint man. We had a good one in Barberville that painted a lot of the houses that Brother Bill Morris and I drywalled. And he took care of a lot of things himself. He filled some little cracks where he didn't get all the way to the floor. He took his putty and he'd fill some cracks. He knew how to get by. I found out the paint man was covering some of my sins too. Amen. And the best we can do, folks, we're in a human body and we'll make mistakes and we'll forget and we'll come short. And that's why the Bible said charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Sometimes we'll just stumble. That's all there is to it. We'll just stumble. You ever see anybody stumble? You ever see a young person stumble? Amen. You ever see an older person stumble? Amen. I just got saved. Had a bad habit of cussing. Oh, I could turn it off around Mama because she'd wear me out. I could turn it off around decent folks. But when us kids would get out, we'd cuss so bad, use such dirty language, even at the age of 14. Yeah, they still do. Stand on any street corner and just hide and listen. The sad thing about it is, today, folks, boys and girls both are doing it, using bad language. Amen. We're just going to the creek to carry water down to the spring. My sister and I, and I got saved, and she said something I didn't like, and I said, "What in the blankety blank blank do you think?" And I just got saved. I couldn't believe it. It came out after I got saved. Amen. I had cussed after I got saved. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, the love of God has the answer for that. If you'll come to Him, repent quickly, He'll forgive you. And the saints of God that have fervent charity, they'll forgive you too. Amen. Most of them forgive you before you ever ask. They'll forgive you every prayer. Praise God. The love of God will do that. Carnality won't. Flesh won't. Self won't, but the love of God will. If you have that, that'll dominate everything. So put that at the top of the list. In view of the end of all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Did you know that's in both Testaments? The Old and the New? Amen. Proverbs. Praise God. Chapter 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife. Well, that's the opposite of love, isn't it? If you have fervent charity, you don't have hatred. Hatred stirreth up strife. Amen. But love covereth all. A-L-L. Love covereth all sins. Hallelujah. Yes, that's why the Lord said, have fervent charity among yourselves, because we're full of error. We're full of mistakes. We're full of blunders. Amen. We do dumb things. I've pulled a few dumb capers myself. So I'm going to forgive my brothers. Amen, because I pulled a few myself. Amen. Praise God. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. Without grudging. Amen. Whole revival, Brother Cooks, I was invited out to one of the families of the church for breakfast. Amen, one morning. And the wife was very cordial and anxious to please, and She had a good breakfast on the table, and I was just eating away and wasn't making too much comment, you know. I mean, I was busy eating and thankful for the good invitation. Amen. And I had quite an appetite back then when I was 21. Amen. And that's revival, in case you was wondering where I met Sister Collins. Amen. That beautiful brunette came walking out from behind the organ, and I'd seen in that flash of a vision just a few weeks or a month or so before. Amen. Here she come with that ponytail that I had seen. And she told me later that that was the only time that she had wore a ponytail to church, in no telling how long. Amen. That was so I would see her and know. Amen. And it was at revival, and I was eating breakfast with these folks, and she said, "Well, Brother Collins may not like that." He said, "It don't make any difference whether he likes it or not." I said, "He can eat what I eat." In almost that tone of voice. Amen. Well, the Bible says use hospitality one to another without grudging. I detected the grudge in his voice. Anybody ever detected a grudge in anybody's voice when you ate at the table, you know? Amen. The fellow, you know, that always said, "Make yourself at home, Jay. Home you ought to be." You know, kind of made a joke out of it, you know. And one fellow said, his favorite saying, you know, a kind of practical joke to people, you know, came to eat his table, said, "Everybody dig in and eat. Don't go off and tell like you did the last time what we had, that you didn't like what we had to eat." And he'd say that to everybody. "You don't go off and tell like you did the last time you didn't like what we had to eat." And so one neighbor, somebody came along, and he said that to him and said, "Well, dig in, make yourself home. Eat all you want," he said, "don't go off and tell like you did the last time you didn't like what we eat." He said, "That wasn't what I said. What I said was what you had wasn't fit to eat." I don't know if it broke him or not, but anyway, amen. The thing backfired. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Amen. Preacher at home, and another preacher after revival one night invited him home with him. All he had was parched corn and salt. And he said, "I don't like parched corn." The fellow that he invited, he said, "Well, help yourself to the salt." Parched corn and salt and nothing else. Amen. He said, "Use hospitality without grudging." Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. You'll be glad. Every man hath received the gift. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister. That means give out. The same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, what we've got, it came of the grace of God, and we give it out as good stewards of His many, many, many faceted grace. Manifold grace. Praise God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Amen. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. The wonderful thing about it is, the end of all things is at hand, and the trial will soon be over. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when he shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. A meddler. Amen. Why? The day is approaching. If any man
suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, for the time is come. The time is come. The bell is about to toll. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? The judgment has begun. It begins in the house of God. You ever wonder why things happen right in church? There's a judgment going on. The people in church, there's a judgment going on. Computers of heaven are whirling. Amen. They're spitting out information. Amen. Oh, if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Scarcely be saved. Amen. Scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly